Welcome to Working Progress. Thanks for joining us for our third podcast. Today, we're joined by a special guest who's actually, we'll call you a user of the TTI assessments. And so please help me welcome today, Richard Van Gilsa. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Brittany.
So Richard, before we get really into it, because today we're focused all about talking about how to create a cohesive team, talk to us a little bit about who you are and why you're here. I know you're the president of a company called Facings of America. What is that?
So Facings of America is a tile and stone local distributor. Okay. So we work with architects, interior designers, and also builders. And so we're part of the A&D community for both the interior and exterior residential and commercial markets.
Okay. And how long have you been doing this and in a role, in a leadership role?
In a leadership role, probably about the last 10 years. You know, I've been president for the last 10 years of the company. I was in sales management before that. And I'd like to say that my dad threw me in the warehouse about 31 years ago and told me to go to work, and I never left.
Very cool. So it sounds like you know a lot about tile.
Sure. I'm very fortunate to have grown up in the family business. So we learned a lot about the product, of course, and I've got a passion for the product. But as I progressed in the business, I realized how much I enjoyed people and the business itself. So learning how to develop people is very important to us.
So I heard through the grapevine that you have a pretty cool claim to fame, which is that you had 100 on an ENPS. And an ENPS, for those who may not be familiar with that acronym, is an employee net promoter score. So wow was my first reaction that, you know, people said, yeah, this is a great place to work. What do you attribute to that? How did that happen?
Well, it doesn't happen on its own, and it's not one thing. So we're fortunate to have worked with some, and Ed still do work with many great people. I would say that we've concentrated on making Facings of America a great workplace, and that entails probably about 55 to 75 different things and different aspects that you need to look at. Engagement is one of them. And so we have done our best to look at every single employee as an individual and not just, hey, everybody gets the same treatment. And when you treat somebody as an individual within your business, it's amazing how much more they are engaged in what it is they do, which benefits both the employee because they want to come to work. It also benefits the company. And then most importantly, it benefits the customer. So they feel the difference. They see that difference.
Where did you learn that? Or where does that passion come from? I mean, just your demeanor kind of changed a little bit. You know, it's almost like it's hitting you right here.
Well, sure. So, I mean, people are the difference, right? They're the difference maker between our company and any other company doing what it is that we're doing. And I would say I've learned it over the years, right? Trial and error. And I want to apologize to every past employee because we learn more and more every day. And, you know, 20 years ago, I didn't know what I was doing. 15 years ago, I didn't know what I'm doing. And I'm sure in 10 years from now, I'm going to look back on today and say, I didn't know what I was doing. So we've been learning through the entire process. We've had some very good facilitators. We've had Arizona Growth Advisors help us. We've had Rockstar Workforce help us. And both of those organizations have led us to TTI. And with that, we've learned even more by knowing what somebody's natural style is, both for what their passions are, what their energizers are, what their communication styles are, how to communicate with them. So that's been extremely helpful. I mean, we've learned it over the course of 10 years, 15 years.
Well, and to be fair to you, then you have to do something with it. You can't just know it. So kudos to you and the group of people that you've assembled for being able to take that and then create great experiences and opportunities inside of the organization to get that 100 ENPS. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. So engagement for us, our definition really is just involved in, enthusiastic about and committed to both the work and the workplace. And that's a Gallup definition. But if you look at it, it's not just doing the work, right? It's how you do the work. And we've really concentrated equally on not only the job that somebody does, but we've concentrated on how that person does the job and what they want to do. And when you put as much effort into that as the outcome or the work itself, that's where the real benefit comes in. Mm-hmm. That's where people are like, oh, wow, I get it, right? And when you have people working on the workplace, not only, again, doing the job, but how they do the job and making sure that they leave it a better workplace, that's where the fun kicks in. And that's where I think we were fortunate enough to have, with the ENPS, we were fortunate enough to have 100% engagement, right? Engaged right. employees. Right. We didn't get 10s everywhere, right? We sure. got 9s and 10s, sure. but everybody was definitely engaged in,
well,
in,
and if
in
you
the company.
Think about what that looks like versus what the average is across America. That's incredible. I think I read recently that the last big poll that came out said there's only 30-ish% of folks who are actually actively engaged. And I think one of the things that you just said, you know, being enthusiastic about it yep. has a lot to do with it. So you're spanning a big, you know.
It's a million different things, right? It's not just one.
Right, thing. Yeah. Right. So one of the things that I think that you all do, because the whole reason I got to meet you was you were in TTI's office not that long ago.
We were.
And walked in and you were having a good old time with a whole bunch of your folks. And there was a lot of laughter and good food, which is always helpful in those situations. So talk to me, what were you all doing? And is that something that's built into your culture where you weren't on site, you were somewhere else and invested in some time and some space with your folks.
So one of the things that we do is continued education for the entire company. And that is for somebody that just started with the company, and that's for somebody that's been with us 20 years. We've retained Rockstar Workforce, Adam and Amber Wong, and they have done a remarkable job in taking us through a journey of learning many different aspects. So learning how to delegate. They've taught us about ourselves, right? How to read our own DISC assessments mm-hmm. that come through TTI. And the more you can learn about yourself, the more you can learn about other coworkers, the better you can communicate, the better off we are as an organization. And so we've made the decision to invest in our people. And so we hire this outside consulting firm. We go through seminars for the entire organization. Sorry to our customers because we close down for those afternoons. However, we're hopefully, when we open the doors on a Monday morning, that we're that much better for you, the customer. So we've just been able to develop everybody. And it changes the conversation within the organization as well. So the result is now all of a sudden you can talk to somebody about how they communicated with their coworker when there was an issue. You can say, don't you remember we learned this, and remind them of some of the things that they've already learned. They'll be like, oh yeah, I do remember that. I'm going to do that next time. And so they become a little more enthusiastic on how they're going to communicate with their coworkers in the future. You know what I mean? So little things like that come out of these seminars, but they come out all day long. And of course, we have to notice those things, right? And then by everybody learning it, it's not just your boss or a manager that's coming to you and reminding you of that. Many times it's a coworker. Many times it could be somebody that reports to you that reminds you, hey, you're not supposed to communicate with me that way, right? We talked about communicating this way, that I would receive that better. And all of a sudden that opens your eyes and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I'll do better next time.
Well, and I would suspect that creates an incredible amount of trust inside yeah. the organization, which we know that, that makes a huge difference. And then I'm sitting here hearing you say all this, and I'm thinking it has to also then play out differently and in a more engaging, happy, cheerful, better way to your customers as well. So, yeah, you're taking some time to close down and invest in your people, but I would suspect that that comes back 10 times, you know, to your customers at the end of the day.
Yeah, regardless of what an ENPS tells us or how we feel about our business. It's definitely great when you get compliments on your people, right? Or the people that work there and I love working with this person. And people have told me before, and I take it as the biggest compliment, they'll say, Richard, you know, we love you, we love Facings, we love everything about you. However, if this person ever leaves your company, we're going with them.
Wow. Right?
And I take that as a compliment, and hopefully that person never leaves the company, but I look at that as a compliment because we've helped develop that person into who they are. Of course, we'd hate to lose that person's business, but if you look at it, that's exactly the type of relationship that we want to create with our client, and we've helped that person develop that relationship. And so the fact that they'd be willing to leave us, even though they've done business with us for a long time, to follow that person is like a true compliment, and we take it that way.
Absolutely. So let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, we're not going to talk in depth about retention, but I suspect if you're investing in these folks internally, they want to stay. And you know, having that comment of, well, if you ever leave, I'm going to go with you. You're probably like, eh, we're good. They're not going anywhere. Is that the case? Or how do you ensure that you do, you know, retain that knowledge and those awesome people to continue to cultivate that kind of relationship inside the organization?
So I learned a long, long time ago, and I forget where I read it, but it said that if you don't invest in your people, then you're going to end up with the people that are not developed, right, within your organization. So you have to ask yourself, am I going to invest in my people with the risk that they will leave? Well, the answer should always be yes. Okay. And so we are proud to say that many of the people that are working at our competitors are people that we have developed over the years. We've always treated everybody as if they're going to stay with Facings forever. We've always made the investment in them. We've always done what we can to develop that individual, develop their skills, make sure that they're using their natural talents, make sure that they are the best version of themselves that they can become. And if they decide to go do that somewhere else, we're happy for them, right? I mean, we all want that, sure. Right? To improve and grow. We hope that they don't leave, and we hope that we're doing a lot of the right things to retain employees. Mm-hmm. People will always leave an organization to better themselves, to move to Cincinnati, Ohio,
right.
You know, you name it.
Right.
They'll always leave. However, we can just do our best, and we hope that they stay. And we are fortunate because we've got employees that have been with us well over 20 years. So it does work to a certain right. extent.
So you talked about, you know, making sure that they're using their natural talents. What's that look like for you guys? How do you identify that? And then what happens if you say, uh-oh, you're not in a role that aligns with that? Then what happens?
I think the simplest way to put it is we've got, well, TTI obviously has helped us figure that out, right? You can't just look at...
We're proud of that, yes.
Yes, yes, that is the essence of TTI. Learning somebody's natural style and what their adapted style is. What TTI has taught me is anybody will work for a paycheck and anybody will do anything you tell them to do for a paycheck. However, the stress will come into play at a certain point in time during that. If I make somebody who enjoys people, for instance, who is a promoter, who needs to be out and about and talking to people and stuff like that. If I were to put that person in a dark office, give them 28 spreadsheets to do, not talk to anybody, you know, down the hall, excluded from everybody, and give them 10 spreadsheets to do in 10 hours or 8 hours or whatever it is, that person will do that job for the paycheck because we all have bills to pay.
Sure.
However, there'll be a certain point in time where they don't like coming to work anymore, so they're no longer engaged in what it is they're doing. They'll still do it because they need the paycheck. Over a certain amount of time, they will leave, right? Or they'll say, right. I'm miserable and have a nice day, and they'll leave the organization. Fortunately, we've recognized this, and so we ask people what they want to do. It's not uncommon for us to talk to somebody and say, this is the job description, the way it reads today. We'd like you to adjust this job description to fit your needs and what you want. Because again, we feel that if somebody wants to do the job and if it does fit their natural style, it benefits all three. It benefits the employee, it benefits the company, and it benefits the customer, certainly. So inversely, if you take somebody who is more of an introvert, who may be a supporter or something along those lines on the disc wheel or a coordinator, even that person, if you were to put them in that same room, give them the same 10 spreadsheets and lock them in that room for 8 hours without any interaction, that person is going to come out of there and thank you for giving them that work. And they're going to love it. And it's going to be exciting for them. It's going to be their energizer. They're going to feel accomplished. They'll do a better job at the actual task. And then once they do interact with somebody, they're going to be happy, right? They're going to be that person you want to work next to all day long because they naturally get to do what it is that they want to do. And for us, that's exciting because figuring that out early on, I've been given tasks, right, to do, and I know that they're not the right fit for me. And I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Like, I'm going crazy here. And so learning that about other people and asking them and making it a real conversation of what can we do? What can we change? How can we help you? Because we need you to be engaged and want to come to work. The minute we have somebody that's just coming in for a paycheck, it's time to have a conversation, right?
And, well, and
how we can change or what we can change in their job description.
Right. And I suspect that also creates some feelings of value, right? Not just from a paycheck, but from, oh my goodness, this employer or this boss or this person cares enough about me to ask me to have this conversation with them. Yeah, there's probably some negotiation, right? You can't always just say, yeah, here, make the job description whatever you want it to be, because there are some needs from the business. But having the ability to have those conversations and have that negotiation probably also helps that person feel like, oh, I'm valued. I have some authority. I have some you know, real stake in the organization and the success of that.
Yep. Absolutely.
Which contributes to that engagement.
It does. And then the real number, right? Nobody's going to love 100% what they do 100% of the time. So somewhere in the back of my mind, I've got like an 85%.
Okay.
So when we have this conversation with people, I'm like, if you're doing 15% of what you don't like doing, but 85% of what is your energizer, what you love doing, what you have a passion for, what you're enthusiastic about, then I think we're hitting a home run, right?
Right, right. Well, and to have some guardrails around that, right? Set those expectations up. It's not going to be 100% all the time.
Correct.
Right? So we've talked about how you do that for current employees and even saying like, hey, you know, I loved this job 2 years ago, but now I feel like I'm moving out of this role. And maybe you have those conversations there. How do you've created this incredible team that I've seen it firsthand, really enjoys being together. How do you bring someone new into that without disrupting everything? That feels like that's just as important, if not more important, than making sure that the folks that you have are happy and engaged and in the right roles and doing the right things.
And I think that's where the old adage comes in, hire slowly, right?
Okay.
We won't talk about the other half of that.
No.
But yeah, so hire slowly. And we do our best to really get to know the person as an individual. One of the things that helps us do that, right off the bat to help. I'm not saying we use the DISC assessment through TTI as a 100%, this is where it is, but it's
another. Nor should you.
Right.
Illegal.
Understood. We use it as a tool. We use it as information to make sure that the role, the job description, the role clarity, right? Everything right. that we've got with the metrics, everything we've got for that position, which by the way, still could be altered, right?
Sure.
To fit the individual.
Right.
We want to make sure that they are a natural fit for that. And we take a good look at it. We really make sure that we explain the job thoroughly, how they're going to be measured. We talk about their communication style. We talk about who we are as an organization. We talk about some of the individuals they'll be working with. So we really take it down to the individual level during the interview process and going back on that. And then, of course, training, right? I mean, there's the first day, first 8-hour day is spent with me as president of the company.
Oh, wow.
For every single employee,
the whole day.
The entire day. And it's not doing, I'm going to say my job, right?
Sure.
Regular work. It is me explaining to them what the company is about, the company history, the company culture, We talk about the little things like whose job is it to pick up the trash in the parking lot on the way into work, right? You park your car, you're walking into work, there's trash in the parking lot. When you can get to that finite level with a new employee and help explain to them that it's everybody's job, I'm not above it, nobody's above it. If you see trash, you just pick it up. Then you start to develop that culture, right? So we work really hard at that. We've got the benchmarks, we've got the training, we've got the systems, processes to support the individuals that come in. And part of the training that we do is a lot of on-the-job training. So they get to know many of their coworkers or many of the people that are doing the same task as them. Mm-hmm. And they also get to know the people that they're going to be working with. So we allow them to shadow most every role within the organization. You could be hired for sales, but you'll still spend a day in the warehouse to understand those systems and processes. Not only do you get to see the job itself, but now you also get to interact with and meet the people that you're going to be working with and communicating with. So for us, that's a big deal. To bring somebody new into the organization is definitely a big deal for us, and we take it very seriously.
Yeah, and everything you are describing, I'm sitting here going, well, it's all relationship-based. And what a cool onboarding experience to be able to not just understand how things are done, but understand who's the person next to me doing it. Because as we know, it's usually about the people and the relationships. That's how you get things done. Sure, there has to be, you know, some process and some rules and guidelines. But, you know, really understanding who that person is and who do I go to and how does that relationship, you know, work itself out, I would suspect is going to really determine how the success of that person and maybe that project might go. So thinking about that, I'm guessing you mentioned we talk about culture, but I'm guessing that people are at the center of your culture. Is that a fair?
Yeah, and as an individual, not as a blanket employees, right? We can't just say everybody needs this. Everything helps, right? The daily huddles that we have, we check in with everybody, say, how are you doing? Once we get the, I'm doing okay, you know, ready to go for the day. Yes, I am. Then we find out what their goals are, what metrics, you know, what KPIs that they're going to accomplish, right? We go through that. People absolutely are there. So we sit down with them for their, you know, the meeting rhythm, the cadence that we have for that. We've got the monthly one-on-ones that we have. So you'll sit down with your direct report, and it is not us telling you, right, the type of job you did. This is us now sitting down for an hour and learning from you what it is we can do better, how we can support you more, what is working, what isn't working. Do you have any natural talents that you're not able to utilize on a daily basis, right? Tell us what we can do better. Tell us how we can communicate with you better. Let us know where we can grow in order to help your job. And so I think that's a role reversal in many cases. It sounds simple, but it's funny because as a manager in a traditional company, you sit down for your monthly meeting and then usually that person has kept a list of all the things you've done wrong and you're supposed to fix those next month. We actually manage in the moment is what we call it. Okay. So if for some reason we see somebody doing something that isn't quite in line with the way we think it should be done, we're able to go up to that individual in the moment, obviously to the side, and we'll say, hey, can you do me a favor and start looking at it from this perspective, or maybe look at it from here, you know, change it and don't do this, but do that kind of thing and manage in the moment. We're not going to save it for the monthly meeting. So we'll take care of that by exception, right? Every time it happens, we're going to have the discussion. It's direct communication. It's aiming to assist for the benefit of the company, for the development of the employee. And then, sitting down on the one-on-ones doesn't become that, you know, dirty laundry list of all the things.
Right.
It becomes a, come on, tell me how I can get better. Yeah. When we did talk about that 3 weeks ago, did I do okay? Should I have done better? Could I have done something differently? And so that changes the conversation because then it becomes more of a team effort.
Well, and I'm hearing all kinds of accountability going back and forth there, right? Yeah. So it's not all on me as the employee. It's also not all on you if you're the manager or the boss, right? To correct those. It's giving both sides the ability to have those conversations and work through them, which to me sounds empowering. It sounds like it's a good healthy relationship there.
It is. And the biggest way we empower people is we let them know, first off, they're as close to owning their own business without the financial risk, because we want them to make decisions day in and day out. And so we just ask them to ask one series of questions, right? It's actually three questions. Is it right for me? Okay, the individual. Mm-hmm. Is it right for the company? And is it right for the customer? If the answer is yes to all three of those, we tell them to go ahead and make the decision. Okay. If it's right for two out of the three in any way, well, then we need to have a conversation. Then we need to figure out how we can make it, twist it, or change it so it would be right for everybody, all mm-hmm. parties involved. Mm-hmm. Because if it's right for all three of those, there's no reason not to do it.
Sure.
And then we just say, do it.
I love that.
Yeah.
And so easy. But
so simple.
It seems like it should be more complicated than that, but it's not, right?
It's not.
Yeah. Yeah. So what other tips and tricks? You just kind of rambled off very easily those three questions. Are there any other things that you as an organization kind of have on in your back pocket, if you will, as you're working through these things, these three questions? This is how we make decisions around here. Or any other daily, I guess you've already also mentioned like coaching in the moment, those types of things. Are there any others that are just values you all live by and don't, stray from?
Absolutely. Well, first off, I don't have any MBAs or PhDs, and I haven't written any books, okay?
Sounds good to me.
I would say there was a little bit of the University of Hard Knocks in there, but I think what we've learned overall is that people are people. And I believe that the authenticity, right? A person should be who they are and they should be authentic. The minute they are true to themselves is the minute that everybody will see them, right? For how great they are. Mm. And mm-hmm. If somebody comes into our organization and they're pretending to be something they're not, it doesn't take very long for us to figure that out. Because, and TTI helps us with this, right? We know their communication style. We know where they are on the wheel. You can pretend for so long, right? So I believe that we as a company are extremely authentic. We act that way ourselves. Leadership is who they are. We all have our strengths, right? And we all have our areas for development.
Sure.
And so we recognize that. We talk about that. There are definitely certain tasks within the organization that I should not be doing. Okay, because I'm not good at it.
Right.
It doesn't come naturally, and I won't do a good job at it. And we ask everybody else to say the same thing, right? To be genuine and authentic for themselves, because they're going to enjoy their job more. They're going to enjoy the things, the tasks that they do take on. They're going to enjoy those more, and they'll do a better job at it. So being authentic, being genuine, knowing yourself, I think is key. And believe it or not, reading your own DISC assessment, okay? When I read my DISC assessment for the first time, this may sound a little harsh, but I feel that somebody had ripped open my chest and they were able to look into my heart and they knew how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like they looked into my brain mm-hmm. and they knew what I was thinking. And so when you have an assessment like that, be able to be the mirror and show you who you are, because I was like, yeah, that's me. Oh my gosh, that's me.
Right.
And so when you have that, so anybody who hasn't taken the DISC assessment, for instance, to find out what some of their strengths are and to find out what their communication styles are, they should absolutely read that, take that to heart, because that is who you are to a certain extent.
Well, and it just reaffirms that authenticity and that your organization invests in that for those people, which is, what more could you want as a team member?
Yep.
Well, Richard, time has flown by. We're approaching the end here. Is there anything else that you would like our audience to leave with? Any other little nuggets or any other takeaways that you want to share or that we should end on today?
Well, it could be a shameless plug, I think. So absolutely invest in TTI Success Insights. The money that we thought we were spending, we've gotten back a million times. So I'll make it the shameless plug.
I'll take it. I didn't pay you to say that. No, I didn't ask you to say that. I'll take it. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a really fun conversation, and we are happy that you all joined us as well. Please join us for our next conversation that'll be happening here at the end of the year as we talk about how to make the most out of your time as a consultant.